hearts, let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace in our lives and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that your Spirit would have total control of us, that we might hear your voice, Lord, that we might listen. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. You know, I don't remember when I bought this book of Japanese puzzles. It had to have been at least 10 years ago. And I bought it because it had a lot of puzzles and a variety of puzzles, 6 different kinds of puzzles in this puzzle book. And I bought it because I liked working puzzles. There's a sense of satisfaction when you work through a puzzle and you complete it. And I bought it because it would force me to use my brain. Let's call it a brain workout. Because exercise is good for us. And when I say there are a lot of puzzles, there are 400 mind-bending logic puzzles in this puzzle book. Each of the 6 puzzles begin with a beginner's version called child's play. Moving on through what is called a pleasant challenge and finishing off with difficult for mere mortals. And I'm just beginning to get to those. Now my intent is to work through each and every one of these puzzles. Now, in 10 years, you would have thought I would have worked through all 400 puzzles. But alas, I have not, because I have mainly been working on these puzzles generally when I go on vacation. Yet now I'm starting to be more intentional. In fact, I'm trying to be deliberate in finishing off these puzzles. And it takes determination. It takes time and it takes effort. It's as though I'm on a puzzle journey. And like any journey, I'll have to navigate through the ups and the downs, the easy parts and the hard parts, when decisions are simple and when they are difficult. You know, this is very much like being a Christian. You know, someone who says that they're a follower of Jesus the Nazarene, you, being a disciple, begin on a journey. And that journey, you have to navigate the ups and downs of life, the easy parts and the hard parts, when you have to make easy decisions and when you have to make difficult decisions. Following the path of a disciple is not a one-time event. It's a series of events on the trip of life. It's like this puzzle book. It takes time to move from beginning to end. Now, over 80% of Americans say they believe in a higher power, but what does that really look like? And if there are changes on the journey or stages of belief, stages of relationship with Jesus, what might those look like? James Harnish breaks down broad stages of relationship with Jesus. I wonder, see where you might find yourself in them, having journeyed maybe through some of these stages. The first stage of people in their relationship with Jesus is ignoring. Can you say that? Ignoring. They are like strangers. It's marked by statements like this: I don't know if I believe in God. Or, I believe in God, but I don't need a faith community. I don't know about you, but I've always believed in God because I was brought up going to church. Sure, there were moments of doubt even in my life, but it's that second statement that I lived through for about 4 or 5 years. Do I really need the church? Is the church any good for me? In fact, I thought maybe at times I don't need a church to worship God. I can worship God on my own, as if I ever really did that. That's the first stage, and it's called ignoring. The second stage is called exploring. Say exploring. We become more of an acquaintance with Jesus. It's marked by the statements, I believe in God, but I'm not sure about Jesus or the church. Or the second statement, my faith is just not a significant part of my life. Most people at this level are usually at a point of doing some exploring about their spiritual lives. They'll begin to explore churches and ask questions about God from people who seem spiritual to them. That's the second stage, called exploring. The third stage is called getting started. Say that. Getting started. Friendship with God begins. I believe in Jesus and I am working on what it means to follow Him. I am participating in the life of the church. This is the stage that I think many churchgoers find themselves. My concern, though, is that we would stay here and never really move on to the next stage. And I think that's because we're afraid to move forward. I remember this time for me dealt mainly with this. I know Jesus had saved me and that God loved me, but what will they require of me? What might they ask me to begin doing? Or more importantly, what might they ask me to stop doing? But do you know what caused me to move from here to the next stage? You see, I realized the depth of my disobedience to God. 10 simple commandments God gave us to follow. And beyond belief, I could not completely follow all 10 of those commandments at any one time in my life. No matter how hard I tried, I would break them. That and knowing myself how selfish I can really be. Yet despite this, Jesus died for me that I might have a relationship with God the Father. And I realized that I owed my eternity to Jesus. And if I was worth dying for, then Jesus was worth living for. Stage 3 is getting started. Stage 4 is going deeper. Say that with me. Going deeper. Becoming good friends with God. It's marked by these two types of statements. My relationship with Jesus makes a difference in how I live my life. My relationship with Jesus makes a difference in how I live my life. And I am discovering how my life can make God's love real in the world. I'm discovering how my life can make God's love real in the world. We've all seen these types of Christians where what they experience on Sunday mornings or in Bible studies throughout the week is lived throughout the rest of their week. These people's lives are also marked by involvement in the body of Christ on Sundays, as well as through the study of God's Word and through prayer. The lives of these people help those who are further back on their journey with God want to move ahead. Did you hear that? Their journey with God is such that those who are behind them see their lives and they want to move ahead in their relationship with God. And then the fifth stage is called centering. Say that with me. Centering. Becoming intimate. Friends with God. We hear people like this say these words. Following Jesus is the most important thing in my life. My life is part of God's transformation of the world. My life is a part of God's transformation of the world. These people are not only involved in the church on Sundays and in small groups, but seek to be involved in ministry within the church as well as missions outside of the church. Their heart's desire is for all people to know the breadth, the height, the depth of the love of God. And their lives are lived in submission to God, knowing that God uses them to make an eternal difference in the lives of others. That's centering. Now, these are broad categories, and like me, you might find yourself moving in and out of a category or a grouping. We know that our involvement with God and with God's church, wanting to move ahead. But sometimes we're sliding back. How does the church help us moving from exploring to centering? where we develop an intimate relationship with God. Jesus gave us some words when he shared them with the disciples about himself after himself being like a vine and we being the branches. Read it with me. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. It seems as if the journey with God must include Jesus, who is our supplier of true life. And if we know of Jesus and we're not connected to Jesus, then we are lost. And we cannot hope to be truly fruitful Christians. Jesus goes on to say this. Read it with me. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. It is clear that we must remain with the Savior. And certainly we could possibly do it on our own. But that was not Jesus' intent. Jesus gave to the disciples and to us today the church, the body of Christ. It is the living and breathing presence of God in the world. It is the means by which we are to remain in Jesus. Did you hear that? Jesus gave to the disciples and to us today the church. It is the living and breathing presence of God in the world today. And it is the means by which we are to remain in Jesus. You see, Jesus goes on to say, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. When I committed myself to God, I wanted to be a part of this living organism called the church. In fact, in my membership vows, I promised to support God's work through God's work in the world through the church by my presence, by my prayers, by my gifts, by my service, and by my witness. And these are the same vows that you have made to too. But I wonder though, did the disciples have to make this kind of vow with God? Did they follow through in this way of living with God, committing their presence, their prayers, their gifts, their service, and their witness to God? Did they? After Jesus had died, and after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples to reside in those who believed in Jesus, it states that many during this day were coming to faith daily. And then it states this as their regular activity. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Did you read that? Four things. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, being with each other, talking about God, to the breaking of bread, communion, and to prayer. Where do you experience these four things? Where do you experience these activities on a regular basis? I had a friend who said, and he didn't attend church, but he said he worshiped God because he could go hunting and see God out in the field and worship him. And my question to him is, well, how often do you do that? See, we find these things in Sunday morning worship and in small groups or Sunday schools. And this morning, we worship God as though we are the actors. We give our presence to our audience of one, God. And as a community of believers on Sundays, we incorporate teaching and fellowship communion and prayer. In small groups, we have teaching and fellowship and prayer. It goes on to say this directly after this about the early church. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and, listen, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, the church is God's organism to help others to know the love of God so that they too can be saved. You see, I believe the church is very much like a hospital, but in a spiritual sense. You see, hospitals are designed to help people who are sick or in need of some type of surgical procedure to help them to live. There are people with various degrees of sickness who are in various stages of getting well. Hopefully, as they get well, they're able to get back into the world. The church is very much designed to help people who are in various degrees of spiritual sickness, and we're all in need of spiritual healing. Some of us come to worship and we're further away in our spiritual health than we would like to admit. But we're all in need of the presence, of being present with the great physician and healer as we worship God together. And that only happens here in community. The disciples' path is not meant to be walked alone, but is meant to be walked in community, walking hand in hand, encouraging each other toward love, toward God, toward good deeds. The writer of Hebrews tells us not to give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Why? Because when we do, when we decide not to participate in the life of the church on Sunday mornings or in small groups, we find ourselves drifting along in life when it comes to spiritual things, like a boat without a paddle, driven by the current of whatever river we're traveling. What athlete shows up on the field to just play, not taking time to practice, to hone up on their skills and receive coaching? What athlete does that? But when athletes show up as a team, there's a real impact. Listen, there's a real impact on each other. On each other. As we spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We cannot impact each other, though, if we're not together. And that's what the church does. It's a community. A living organism that brings us together. What we need is the breath of God to breathe new life in us, to stir our hearts so that we as individuals and as a body of believers might be made into the image of the one true living God. Hebrews goes on to say that we're to encourage one another, but it is in the context of being together that we worship God and avail ourselves to the study of God together. That's what happens here. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Will you commit yourself this day to be a part of the body of Christ on a regular basis? That when you find yourself in town, that you will say, Sunday mornings are not a day of rest. It is a day of worship. It is a day when I come together to be in community with each other, to spur one another on and to love each other and to challenge each other with the words of God. It is a day when, unbeknownst to us, we might impact the life of another because of something we said or did, a touch, a hug, a smile, a confession that maybe I haven't done what I should be doing. Knowing that we're all in the same boat together. Will you commit yourself to this spiritual hospital? Knowing that we all come, all of us come in various degrees of spiritual need. Knowing that even when I come and I might be up here with God, knowing that somebody might be down here and needs a touch. And maybe God will use me to reach into your life and draw you closer to the Savior. Will you commit yourself to being present with God in community? Will you commit yourself? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we gather as your people to not only explore, not only to learn, but to understand more of who you are and who you call us to become. Open our minds and hearts to receive your gift of grace, that we might become more like Jesus. And open our mouths and hands to offer your grace to others, that we might be that living body, wholly committed to you. Breathe on us, God. Fill us with life, that we might be your people, the people you have called us to be. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,